The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two. Our impact segment is always 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. For our impact segment, we're going to talk about, well, the state of the world, our country, our state, as it applies to the ongoing onslaught of health and what are we putting in our bodies if you take the jab, some that support it, some that don't. So I'm going to jump right in. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to listener Richard. Richard just sent me an email and said, dude, you're leaving? I just started listening to you Tuesday. I am leaving. Friday's my last day. Tomorrow's my last day. And if you want to call in, share your sentiments, we'll maybe take your calls a little later this hour. But Richard, thank you. And please get on my mailing list. So, let me just jump around, share some stories. There is a new story breaking out of Israel. 84% of new COVID cases there are with vaccinated individuals. This is in Israel. 84% new COVID cases vaccinated. That's much different from what we keep hearing over and over every day on the news.
Said we have tape for you from the UK's chief scientific advisor, a man called Sir Patrick Vallance. This tape is from today. Gene Wu and his friends should have watched it before they left Texas. It makes you wonder, how effective are these drugs anyway? Watch.
In terms of the number of people in hospital who've been double vaccinated, we know it's around 60% of the people being admitted to hospital with COVID have been double vaccinated. And that's not surprising because the vaccines are not 100% effective.
So fully 60% of patients admitted to British hospitals for severe, presumably life-threatening cases of COVID, because that's why you go to the hospital, had been fully vaccinated. That's what he just said. Several hours after he said it, Vallance sent a tweet clarifying that he meant only 40% of patients admitted to UK hospitals had been fully vaccinated. He didn't provide evidence to substantiate anything he said. But still, either number seems like big news. Now, the number may be small in total in the aggregate, but the fact that anybody is going to the hospital, particularly a big percentage of people who are going to the hospital, has already been vaccinated, is the opposite of what they've been telling us here in the United States. They've been telling us anyone who's fully vaccinated is fine. The only people getting dangerously sick or dying from COVID are those people who've refused to get the vaccine. Joe Biden said that once again just the other day.
Look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated, and they're killing people.
They're killing people. This show is killing people for asking those naughty questions. We've heard that a lot, including from elected officials, a lot of them. Because the only people getting sick are the ones who've refused for political reasons to get the vaccines. How many times have you heard that in the past month as they continue to politicize medicine to an almost irrecoverable point? Our CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, has joined in. She said the same thing. If you're vaccinated, she's assured us you're safe. You're not simply protected from infection. You're protected from serious illness, from hospitalization, even from the lurking menace known as the Delta variant.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We are seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination coverage because unvaccinated people are at risk. And communities that are fully vaccinated are generally faring well. The good news is that if you're fully vaccinated, you are protected against severe COVID, hospitalization, and death, and are even protected against the known variants, including the Delta variant, circulating in this country. If you are not vaccinated, you remain at risk. And our biggest concern is that we are going to continue to see preventable cases, hospitalizations, and sadly, deaths among the unvaccinated.
You're listening to an expose of Tucker Carlson a few nights ago. By the way, The question is, who do you believe? What do you do? We'll share more. We have a line open, 888-528-2557. Like, who's telling the truth? Are we being lied to? A little bit more.
We're not saying there's no benefit to the vaccine. There may well be profound benefits to the vaccine. Our mind is open and has been from the first day. We never encourage anyone to take or not to take the vaccine. Obviously, we're not doctors. But we know lying when we see it, and you just saw it. To say again, in unison, and they're all saying it, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, is simply untrue. That's a lie. There's a massive discrepancy between that political talking point, which is exactly what it is. Thank you, Rochelle Walensky. Thank you, President Biden. And what the data in a bunch of different countries are showing. Someone needs to explain that. Tell us the truth. People can handle it. And what is going on with the government's own VAERS database, the vaccine harm database that you're required to ignore, but that the Biden administration maintains anyway, but the numbers are bad? What are the real numbers? Who knows? No one will say. As of tonight, the VAERS database reports more than 1,000 cases of heart inflammation in people 30 and under who've taken the vaccine. Is that a big deal? Is it not? Should we worry about that? How are those people doing? We don't know. As of this week, the CDC and the FDA say they've confirmed more than 600 reports of heart inflammation and swelling, and that number is almost certain to rise. What's the context for those numbers? Is that a full count? Is it an undercount? Why is anyone trying to find out? And why aren't they telling us? How come no one in the federal government is working transparently to complete a full assessment of all vaccine side effects and then tell the public what they are?
Let me jump in. There's more. I won't play more. I think these are good questions. Why are we not hearing everything? Why do we not know about adverse effects? Why is all we're hearing is take the shot, it's safe, it will protect you from new variants or from getting COVID, and then if you really lean in a little bit, do your own research, 84% of people in Israel now that have contracted COVID all got the shot. There's much more to this. Let me play one more audio clip, then we'll take some calls. Victor Davis Hanson is a historian. He was asked the question on Tucker recently about this idea of being forced to take a vaccination or even be shamed if you do not take the vaccine, the supposed quote-unquote vaccine.
Well, how did we get here, Tucker? If you and I had this conversation last June or July, then now President of the United States would be reassuring people that he probably would not get vaccinated because of the association with Donald Trump and the vaccine.
Exactly.
And the vice president, current vice president, would be more explicit. And then we were told by Dr. Fauci there was no way we would have a vaccine in 2020. It would have to be to 2021. And then we were told by the President of the United States that no one was vaccinated until he was inaugurated. That was a flat-out lie. And then we were told that 2 million people were scheduled to come into the United States in a 12-month period, and we're on track to meet that disturbing goal. And then we were told that none of them would be vaccinated that we knew of. We would have no test. Yet the HHS Secretary and Joe Biden would say, unlike people who are not U.S. citizens, you U.S. citizens will be adjudicated. We're going to go door-to-door to make sure that you are vaccinated. And then so we turn to the medical community and we say, help us. The politicians have failed us. And we look at Dr. Fauci, and what does he say? No relationship with a Wuhan lab and the origins of COVID. No gain of function research funded by NIH or NIA infectious diseases. Oh, by the way, masks have no utility. One mask is what you want. Better two. Oh, 60, 70, 80% herd immunity. Pick your pick. Oh, that was all noble lies. And so when you saturate the public with so much political disinformation, and they turn to the medical community, and it's weaponized. And I remember, I think it was June 8th of last year, when 1,200, quote-unquote, medical experts said the psychic damage would be so great for BLM supporters not to break the quarantine that it was medically efficacious for them to go out shoulder to shoulder and violate the quarantine and protest, but no one else. So when you lose that credibility in politicians and the medical community, I'm afraid that, and I'm a big supporter of vaccinations, but I have a lot of empathy with people who can't trust the government, and they've lost the narrative, and Now they're trying to double down by coercion. All they need to do is be transparent and honest. This is the vaccination. This is the efficacy rate. These are the dangers. Here's the natural immunity or lack of it. Here's the intellectual or the knowledgeable decision you can make. We give you two recommendations. Go to it. And maybe they could trust the confidence. They could have confidence in the American people. But so far, the American people have no confidence in them because they've ruined their reputations and credibility for cheap political gain, I guess.
Victor Davis Hanson. A new survey by Nonpartisan Physicians Association found that most respondents have not fully vaccinated against COVID-19 or plan to get the shot. In the survey by the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, nearly 60% of over the 700 both retired and practicing physicians said they were not fully vaccinated and would decline the shots based on their assessment of risk. This contrasts with the claim by the American Medical Association that 96% of practicing physicians are fully vaccinated. That was based on a survey where 300 doctors participated. You've heard, I haven't got an email from a young man today. He goes to a local college, and the mandatory, you can't get back in school unless you get vaccinated, and he's asking, what can I do? Where can I go? This is a situation that Charlie Kirk has stepped in.
So my wife and I made the decision not to get the vaccine, and I announced that at an event a couple months ago. And then some of our Turning Point USA students came up to me. They said, Charlie, we can't make that same decision if we want to continue going to college. I said, what do you mean? They said, my university is basically mandating us to get the vaccine, saying that if we do not get the vaccine, then we're going to have to be subject to testing, or we have to take online courses, or wear a mask, sometimes outside at universities where we've been told that masking actually makes almost no difference outside of the transmission of the virus. What's happening here, Tucker, is force and control. And what's been really strange to see is how few organizations or people are pushing back against this. Yeah. So we organize high school and college kids. This is obvious for us, saying that we are not going to tolerate students to be forced to get the vaccine against their will. This is a very simple issue. It's about medical freedom and privacy. And if you have concerns about the vaccine, which, by the way, a lot of people do, including Dr. Malone and Brett Weinstein, you should be able to opt out of the vaccine, especially if you're an 18 or 19 or 20-year-old, where you are the lowest risk cohort in the entire country of dying from the Chinese coronavirus. The stories are mounting of young people that have got the vaccine and then have unusual health events afterwards. At Turning Point USA, we are going to give it everything we have to make sure that students are not going to have to live in a medical apartheid because they don't want to get the vaccine. So the first thing is we're going to offer legal help through some legal experts we know to any sort of exemptions that might exist, especially at public universities where there might be religious exemptions. Those are going to be tough, Tucker, because unfortunately we have not seen the type of decisive action that these Republican state legislators should have been taking this spring and early summer to be able to grant exemptions for their students. We're going to put pressure on Republican governors and say you have to make sure the state universities do not mandate these vaccines and create these almost two realities. It's this medical ultimatum. But more than anything else, Tucker, what we are going to do is a massive public relations campaign and make sure students know they are not alone. They don't have to hide in the shadows. That's all right. Of a sudden, they're concerned that if they get the vaccine, they're going to be treated as if there's something. I said this earlier, and this is a big statement, but it's almost this apartheid-style open-air hostage situation. Like, oh, you can have your freedom back if you get the jab. This is unacceptable. We're going to fight back against it.
Charlie Kirk. Let's take some calls. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. Rick in Ontario. Rick, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, sir. Hate to see you leave. Mr. Frank, I think this was going down about a month or two before we started hearing things in February, because I took a shot in November. I took a late flu shot, and it was in November at the El Monte Clinic. I have never been the same since. I was sick for a month and a half. I could not even stand up. I was fighting for every breath. To this day, all my limbs are numb, and I was asking around, what's going on with these people that's had this flu shot that you're talking about? Because I think something's wrong. To this day, I can't walk even 25 steps. A church let me stay here. I was at El Monte Clinic, and I'm on the street. But I don't think they treated me any differently. But
so let me ask for clarification. It was a flu shot and not one of the what we're calling the vaccine shots.
I believe it was the beginning of this this flu shot.
Okay.
I'm 70 years old.
Okay. How did you
sister out.
How did you get a shot? You walked into a clinic and said, "I want a flu shot." I'm
yeah, that's all I did.
Okay. So you took a flu shot, which is different from the vaccine. Maybe we have a response. Someone would call in. Rick, thank you. Thomas in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. I'm always great. And I will make this brief because I know there are a lot of people that want to speak with you today and tomorrow. You and I first spoke years ago. I was in my residency at Cedars-Sinai. And it might have been your fifth week on the Impact program.
Wow.
And we spoke, and I have followed you ever since. And you mentioned earlier that you are a fool. I disagree with that. Maybe you're a student. You are a smart man. The reason I'm calling is just to share what I know, to share my experience. I'm a doctor. And in regards to information that's being presented as a doctor, me and my colleagues, in fact, one of my colleagues died of COVID, absolutely. When a person dies of COVID, so I know that, intubated, signs of COVID, everything, it's there, it's clear. When I go to write the death certificate, I'm not allowed to write COVID. It has to be respiratory failure, heart attack, something other than COVID. Then it gets passed up along the system for someone else to determine, was that a COVID death? What that ends up happening is maybe 2, 3, 4 months down the road, someone might acknowledge
right.
that was death by COVID. But the figures that are out there, how many people die of COVID, are completely inaccurate. And I'm only one man, and I've seen a thousand. And so I just was calling to agree with you that the information that's being put out to the public is slow, it's inaccurate, and people need to be very aware and cautious, very cautious, of what they hear in the media. And that's why I was calling.
I appreciate.
I also wanted to say,
go ahead.
I also wanted to send blessings to you and Aaron and your little man.
I appreciate that. He's not so little anymore. we measured him the other day. He's 5'10 now, but thank you. Thomas,
wow. He takes after dad.
Yeah. Would you send me an email if there's a way I can get in touch with you? I'd love to follow up with you.
Absolutely. I'm on your email list. I know how to get a hold of you. Tell me a word, and I'll put that word in the header.
Tell you a word. Jiminy. Jesus.
Why not? Jiminy Christmas. Okay, great.
There you go.
It's okay. Me. Be safe.
Thank
You're
you.
Not going away. You're not going away. You'll return in your new season.
Yep.
I look forward to your growth and appreciate you. I've been with you since your fifth week at Impact.
That's crazy.
Well,
I look forward to catching up some more. I've got a break and I need to take another call. Thomas, thank you. And I'll look forward. I'll keep an eye out for your email. Now, I want to make sure the few and far between those of you that think this is all about everybody agreeing. David in Santa Monica. David, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for having me. I've been listening to you for years. I've been listening to KKLA for a long time since Duffy was on. So I'm really glad to be here. But I also I want to say before I say anything else, I want to say that I'm a devout Bible-believing Christian. You know, so the Bible is, I believe, the authoritative word of God. And so I think that a lot of things that are going on with the world today are because we are like the church in Laodicea, that we are all a lot of lukewarm Christians. And what we need to focus on is starting, you know, holding ourselves accountable and trying our best to kind of tell others to preach the gospel and start a revival. I disagree entirely with, Tucker Carlson and Fox News when these people are on TV saying that, the COVID vaccine is poison or...
No one is saying... Look, I'm not going to let you misrepresent. No one is saying, Tucker Carlson, I've never heard him say the vaccine is poison. He actually has a position that I disagree with. He says he believes most of them are very essential. I don't. So don't misrepresent him. Continue.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question.
Anything.
When you drive your car, do you wear a seatbelt?
What do you think? Of course.
So you do, right? So see, the government mandates that people wear a seatbelt for their safety.
That doesn't mean... Hold on. I don't wear a seatbelt because the government mandates it. I wear a seatbelt because I choose to wear a seatbelt. Continue.
Okay. Well, okay, but you know, if you don't wear a seatbelt, you know, then California Highway Patrol can pull you over and give you a citation because
Fine.
You are disobeying the law.
Fine.
Right?
That's okay with me. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. So another thing is, for example, you know, when a kid is going to go to school, they have to get their measles, mumps, and rubella, their MMR, their shots, their vaccinations.
Correct.
So why is it that now that this vaccination is being proposed that students take it, and everyone is saying, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, or you're saying...
Not everyone.
You know, it's... Well, I mean, not everyone, but I mean, the thing is that it's irresponsible.
Here's
for
the
us
answer.
To have that on the radio.
Here's the... No, it's quite the opposite. I'm providing information. Here's the difference between all the vaccines that you made mention of. They're all FDA approved. Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, none of them are FDA approved. These are experimental drugs. We don't know right now. My message is loud and clear. Err on the side of caution, make good decisions, and choose to do with your body the way you choose to do. Do not do anything out of submission or obedience to the government. We've given them enough of our freedoms. So I don't know what's so confusing about my position.
Well, maybe it's the fact that you have, like I said, Fox News. You always do, like, excerpts of Fox News.
No, I don't do excerpts of Fox News. I run Tucker Carlson clips because I find a lot of his guests very thought-provoking. Here's something else you probably won't like. To make a child of 2, 3, 4 years old force them to wear masks is child abuse. Absolute child abuse.
I never said to put a child... A mask on. I never said to put a mask on a child. You're inferring that. You're assuming that.
No,
I'm not.
You're not the only one. There's thousands of people listening right now that may be coming to their own conclusions about this conversation. I just want to state it clearly for the record. So you're...
I disagree with that.
So you're against with the state mandating a child should wear a mask?
No. You're taking my words.
I'm asking a question. Are you against the state mandating a child wear a mask?
Okay, I did not know that was in debate right now. So the thing is I wouldn't want to answer on something that I'm, unfamiliar with.
That's very good to hear that you admit it's okay to say those three words. I don't know. And you don't know this is what's out there? Well, I invite you to be more informed. I thank you for the opportunity to have the conversation. Disagreement for me most times is more enlightening than just having a conversation where everybody does agree. 888-528-2557. By the way, one last thought on this. We're going to talk about Eric Clapton on the other side. Did you see what he's doing? More of this, the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. That is a rock band called Cream. What are you doing, Frank? Eric Clapton was one of three on this legendary band, and Eric Clapton is in the news. Kind of gave me an opportunity to play one of my favorite Cream songs. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but this is kind of an extraordinary move by a man who is very high profile in the public. Eric Clapton, whose active opposition to the COVID vaccine based on a personal experience has roused the left's ire. And here's the part, has stated he will refuse to play any venue that requires proof of vaccination before allowing entry. I'm going to say that again, because that's not the normal lingo that we're hearing. It's just the opposite. What? Say again. Eric Clapton says he will refuse to play any venue that requires proof of vaccination before allowing entry. Clapton's statements follows an announcement by UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson that as at the end of September, vaccine passes will be required for entry to nightclubs and larger venues. Clapton took the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. I'll read a little of what he has stated on the record. I went and had the jab. Within several hours, I was shaking like a leaf, and I went to bed early and couldn't get warm. And I thought I'm running a fever. I was boiling hot and sweating, and then I was cold, and I was out for the count for about a week. I had been preparing for a project where I was going to be playing acoustic guitar with a couple of musicians. We were going to film it. That week knocked me out, and I had to start again from scratch. I was okay, but it didn't come off as well as I would have liked because, professionally, it was a huge setback. Nevertheless, Clapton agreed to take the second dose. Putting it mildly, it didn't go well. He said, bit by bit, I realized that I probably shouldn't have had the first jab. But then I was offered the second, and I thought, well, what's the point in stopping now? So I went and had the second, and then it got really bad. Within about a week, my hands didn't work at all. Clapton, who suffers from incurable but thus far manageable peripheral neuropathy, spent weeks unable to properly function, let alone play guitar. He said, when I had the second jab, this ramped up from a scale on a scale of 10, say from 3 to 9, agony and chronic pain. When you know there's nothing that will work, there's no medication, you can take that with help. It's very, very frightening. And the worst thing is you don't know when it's going to wear off or when it's going to go away. He goes on to talk more. I don't need to get any more graphic. Obviously, he had a very bad experiences. Clapton acknowledges that his stand has proved costly on a personal basis, yet believes it necessary to continue raising his voice. Wherever you stand on this issue, please listen to the following. Eric Clapton said, I believe most of all in free speech and freedom of movement, choice of movement and life and love and kindness. And with all of this exposure to the polarization of politics and the medicine and the science, I found it very difficult to be neutral because I've seen scorn and contempt from both sides. And I get caught in the crossfire a lot. He said, I'm talking today on behalf of people like me who may be lost, may be near to hear someone talk about it from a human point of view without condemnation. There has to be a way to bring people together. I believe music can do that, but it's a long, long way. There's still time. I believe it's still time more than ever for us to come together. He says he has a brief U.S. tour planned in September. And I realize, I mean, I don't want to sound, what would be the word, too uppity. I'm thinking there are probably a lot of you don't even know who Eric Clapton is. The man is, he's been in rock and roll forever. One of the most iconic, successful singers, songwriters, guitarists. And he's one of very few I've never met. I'm trying to find out how old he is here. He's got to be at least in his 70s and still wanting to go back out on tour. He's had a hard life. He lost his son years ago. My goodness, Eric Clapton's 76. Wow. Okay, 888-528-2557. Tony and Brea, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Tony, are you there? Tony, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there it is. Sorry, my end. Mistake.
No problem, Frank. Hey, Frank, I just got one couple minutes. Just a minute. I just want to thank you, and I love your radio station, and I love you. And I hear your conversation with other people. It's like, man, you're right on there. And just keep up the good work. I just have one question, Frank. What's the name of the blood pressure you have? Medication do you take? Because I need that medication, brother.
I do. I can name it on the air. The name of the medication is called Jesus Christ, brother.
That's the Holy Ghost. Yes. You know what? I've been listening to you for quite a while, and I can't wait to, you know, just hear you on the radio. You're the only person that I can listen to every day because you make a lot of sense. You have a gift, brother. Don't let no one rob that from you. You know, I wish I could meet you and see you, but I guess I'll see you in heaven with the rest of the brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, I'm saying no to that. Of course you can meet me. Sign up and get on my mailing list with my men's ministry. Tony, I don't know if you know this, but I'm leaving. Tomorrow's my last day. But I'll be around. We plan on doing maybe some KMG events in L.A. But, oh, my goodness. Come to an event. Send me an email. Of course, I'd love to meet you. Thank you for your kind words. 888-528-2557. We have one more segment for today, and then tomorrow will be our last show. Again, please get on my mailing list. Go to franksontag.com. That's the only way to get on the mailing list. We'll continue with more. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I'm not familiar with this song. I was told one of the staff wanted to play it. Is there a story behind the song or just a song you like? Who's this by? What is this? Oh, Oasis. No wonder why I don't know it. Said person asked me the other day if I like Oasis. I said, I ever since the brothers were fighting way back when, not been a fan. But it's music. It's subjective. Welcome back to the program. Let me fire this off. This is one of my favorite audio clips in all the years I've been on the radio. I've played it a few times. I want to play it again. I just made mention of Eric Clapton standing for freedom of speech. Jordan Peterson is a man that I hold in high regard. And in his residence in Canada, he was asked by the government, I think it was 2016, to change the way he spoke about things like pronouns. And he said, no way.
You made your decision 2016 not to say what the government of Canada was prepared to force you to say. You decided, I can't do that. It violates my conscience. My soul's at stake. I'm not doing it. Looking back on that decision 5 years later, your life is completely different from what it was. Are you happy that you made that decision? Was it worth it?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm happy that I made the decision. I wouldn't say that my life has been particularly happy over the last 5 years. It's been stressful beyond comprehension for a variety of reasons. And I would say being pilloried on a regular basis publicly is definitely part of that. But, you know, you make your decisions in life, and I decided when I was very young, I'm in my mid-20s, that I was going to say what I believed and see what happened. I talked to you earlier in the talk about adventure, you know, about the adventure of truth, and I don't think I'm happy about what has happened, and I certainly have dragged my family through their fair share of, well, both hell and also incomprehensible opportunity. It's expanded our lives in both directions to a tremendous degree. But it's certainly been an adventure. It's not been dull. And I don't believe that it was a mistake. Whatever happens as a consequence of telling the truth is the best thing that can happen. It doesn't really matter how it looks to you at the moment, or maybe even across the years. Because you have to, it's an article of faith in some sense. Do you believe that reality is better constituted as a consequence of truth or falsity? If you believe that reality is best constituted as a consequence of truth, then you have a responsibility to speak the truth. And you can't assess the consequences and say, well, that was a mistake, because part of the decision that reality is best constituted as a consequence of the truth is the decision that no matter what happens is the best if it's a consequence of telling the truth. And so that's what I conclude. It's like, this is what happened because I said what I had to say as clearly as I could say it. And that's as good as it could be. Now, whether or not that's good, well, it's good compared to all possible alternatives, all possible realistic alternatives. That's an article of faith as far as I'm concerned. You know, our culture is predicated on the idea that truth in speech is of divine significance. It's the fundamental presupposition of our culture. Well, if you believe that, then you act it out and you take the consequences. You're going to take the consequences one way or another, you know. So, you want the truth on your side? Or do you want to hide behind falsehoods?
Jordan Peterson, thank you. We're going to play one call here. I've got a lot of best of calls up here. This is listener Jerry. Jerry's in Montebello. Jerry, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, I listened to you on KKLA, and actually it was for this COVID stuff that I actually came back to KKLA to see what the Christian perspective was. And it was actually an episode where you were giving a little bit of your testimony. I'll button it up at the end and tell you what I thought you, who you were. But this whole time I've been saddened by professing Christians that have really been attacking you for pointing out the allegations of clear voter fraud. Maybe they don't watch Project Veritas and Smooth and Silk or whatever, and Knowles and Ben Shapiro and the other good stuff on Twitter and social media, and it just hurts. John MacArthur did an analysis of the Democratic campaign a couple years ago, and essentially it was satanically derived or inspired. And this whole thing with the COVID drove me closer to the Lord myself. I started following Dory Love, David Lynn, they're street preachers up in Canada. Mm-hmm. Ray Comfort, I'm full of Living Waters tracks, mm-hmm. and I'm actually handing out tracks almost every day. That's what I try to do. And I'm actually preaching more of the gospel than I ever have before.
Praise God.
But this whole event drove me there because you could see the signs. This clearly is, we're battling with powers and principalities. This was an attack against our livelihood and our you know, foundation of the United States. And Donald Trump, you know, the Lord is using Donald Trump, and that's clear to see. But anyway, when I caught you back on KKLA, I didn't recognize your voice at first. For a second, I thought it was Tom Likas as you were giving your testimony of how you've gone far away. And then I looked online and saw that was you. So I'm glad you're there. I know you're taking the shots. But brother, just stand tall. This was an attack upon our way of life, and it is an attack on our religious freedoms. I don't know if people can see that. I don't know who they're watching and influenced by, but if you get outside of the mainstream media and look at these other folks, like I said, Knowles and Shapiro and Project Veritas, those answers are there.
Listener Jerry, thank you for making that call. Tomorrow's our final program. A lot to share in a short time. Let me say this today as we sign off for this program. Get on my mailing list. Go to franksontag.com. That's the only way you can get on it. You send me an email, say, I'm on. Please get me on the mailing list. Not going to do it. You have to go to franksontag.com. And also, it dawned on me last night as I made a post on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram if you have an Instagram account, both personally mine and my ministry. Frank M. Sontag, and our ministry is KMG Ministries. You can follow me and the ministry on both. I tend to be very reliant and heavy on Instagram. I like that medium a lot. So feel free to follow me there as well. Feel free to call me tomorrow. You can email me in the interim, and tomorrow will be our final day. It's going to be an amazing day. God is so great, and Jesus is Lord. I love each and every one of you. Look forward to tomorrow's program. This is the Frank Sontag Show.